true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
All right, so your girlfriend, Denise.
Yeah.
Is buying a house with her husband.
Yeah.
Francois.
Yeah.
Janine is not involved.
No Janines.
And there's stress happening and it's bleeding into your reality because you're a human and that would happen.
Yeah. And actually, the question I had was not about directly about that.
Yeah.
But hey, how's it going?
Hi,
good morning.
How are you?
We're
Hello.
Here.
Good
We're
to see you. Hello. All
episode.
The answers. Welcome to the podcast.
I just wanted to jump right into it. Just the idea of sort of entanglement and how we both show up for people without being drawn into the energy of it too much.
So
but
hard.
Obviously you can't because you care.
Yeah.
But I mean, I will say that on the one hand, I do feel good about like the tools that I've developed.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years ago, Cassidy would be
all
completely just not knowing what to do with himself.
Yeah.
But you know, modern here today, Cassidy is really aware of every moment of being like, show up 100%, be there, give love where you can, give advice less, but occasionally when asked for.
Yeah.
But then also be able to, like, you know, sleep at night.
Sure.
You know, even though this person I care about very, very deeply isn't sleeping at night.
Oof,
because
hard,
they're
hard.
In it, you know?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, how do you show up? And this is different, I think, than a, like a therapy relationship, but just in a personal relationship when someone near you is
well,
like a therapist relationship, you have to show up for the person who's going through something.
Oh, and, as a therapist.
Yeah. And then just let it go.
Uh-huh.
You know, and just be like, great, that was your session.
It's different. Yeah.
Right. But as in a love relationship or even a close friend relationship.
Totes.
Yeah. Like other friends of mine have been going through shit and I'm really aware of how it can actually spin me up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get in a place of thinking about them when they're not there.
Sure.
A little too much.
Sure.
So I don't know what.
Yeah.
It's not a, I don't have a direct question, but like,
well, I hear like eight questions
about that idea.
In there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you
yeah.
hear?
Well, first of all, so for the listener, we're going to do a question and answer day today. So we have 1,000 questions from 1,000 people. And by 1,000, I mean like 9.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that.
9,000.
So 9,000 questions from 9,000 people. Desmond's letting the light in.
Oh, that's so appropriate.
Such a good metaphor, what you're doing.
Mostly I was leaving the noise out. But we can do the light.
That's about yeah. sound?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Cass was thinking about a question he has. Let me just drop in a little bit more and see how to bring this through in a way that's beyond other things. Okay. So the short answer is, and then we'll go into the long answer. I'm going to have my eyes closed weirdly for a minute here just because I need to. So they're like, cool, what's your spiritual practice like? Which is so often the first response
yeah.
to a lot of questions because think of it like this. The human mind and the human emotions are these denser frequencies of consciousness. Consciousness is this spacious allowance portal of just allowance and space. But it also has the ability to turn into potency and strength and clarity and action and boundaries and truth, etc. Human thoughts and emotions are a frequency. Thoughts are a frequency down from there, meaning denser frequency. And then emotions are like cocoon down, way down. They go, they're just like that. So when you have a spiritual connection or you have some kind of way of tapping into that which is beyond thought and emotion, AKA that which is lighter. So if you think about the difference between mist and concrete, right? If you were water and you kept getting, and they kept putting concrete walls in the middle of you, let's say you're a river and like they put a concrete wall and then you're like, cocoon, I bumped up against this concrete wall. We would be hoping you had a way to turn your concrete wall into mist so you could just flow through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the 12 steps saying the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. It's not an idea. We have to live it. So the question becomes, what is the thing you do with your heart and body that softens you so you become mist so that mist has an easier time holding water, like, or I should say allowing water to move through it. So how do you become mist as opposed to a bit of a concrete wall that is getting hit up against by water, by walls, by rocks, by twigs? You know, how do you become mist? And by mist, I mean spacious allowance for what is. For this being, this Katie portal through which we're talking now, she's like, I'm like, I don't know another way to hold space like that without becoming more spacious myself. That's the only way. You have to become more space yourself. So anytime other people's stuff is activating us, it's an opportunity to go inside and become more spacious ourselves by dropping into what's up for us, letting the light of consciousness transmute that and becoming more space yourself. So then they come at you, they say words, it flows through you, you're able to walk away and let go. It also does have to do with boundaries and saying, babe, I love you so much, I can only take so much of this right now, I'm going for a walk. And then you spend 2 days apart. Which is the total piece where it flies in the face of everything human beings believe about how relationships are supposed to go. I'm there for you always, forever, even despite what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Not actually, like a very conscious relationship is very self-care heavy, but blended with very hold space heavy. How do you do both? More space inside of you. Now, with your orientation to time space being so mental and so fast, and so facile here in the head, it's challenging because, you know, they say the longest journey is from the head to the heart. Well, we would add in this case, the second longest journey is from the head to the heart to space. But that is the direction of the flow. So you have to come out of here by like doing some spiritual shit into your head. That will necessarily organically drop you into your heart and you'll have feelings. I'm in stress and all that comes out through tears in the eyes. And then all of a sudden you're space. And then it becomes easier to return and hold space for someone else. You can't hold space when you're not space.
Right.
But we're trying to do that all the time as humans and it doesn't work.
That makes sense. I mean, it's actually that feels like a very honestly, a simple answer. It's just in the sense.
It's simple, but not easy.
Simple, but not easy. But simple in terms of, yeah like you can't hold space that you don't have.
Yeah, so you got to process your own stuff. People hate this idea that anytime you're having a thing and it's messing with me, it's something in me to sit with. And then you process that. And then it's easier to just be there for the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for 100%. And I, for the most part, I feel very good about that I actually have been doing. I mean, I haven't been engaging in an active, like, I would say like muscular spiritual practice.
Yeah.
You know, active, which brings me, that's funny because like I've been seeing a lot of clients lately and we do this work, Katie, you and I do the same, a lot of the same work. And I'm very big on the what we call the sort of warm up that we give them, this tool that we give all these very heady people to bring themselves into their center and in their body.
Right.
And I always talk about it like the dentist where I'm like, you don't have to lie to me and say you've been doing it.
Right.
Because, or you've been flossing, right?
No, I see it.
I see it. Or I don't care in the sense of like, it's for you.
Sure.
And I feel like that has happened a lot here where it's like, have you been meditating?
No.
Yeah, no. And the answer is no.
Right.
And you're like, cool. Well, the tool is there.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, especially if you iterate on it, is what I say to them. It's like, the more you do it, the better it is, the more useful tool it is. And I hear myself saying that to them. And then I hear this coming at me and I'm like,
Yeah. When we teach what we need to learn.
Yeah. And just remind myself, I could just literally add that into my world. And it's so easy. Actually, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
But giving myself.
Yeah.
As I say that, it landed in my little, you know, cry center.
Yeah.
I was like, yep. Okay. That's true.
Yeah.
Saying that back to you.
Can we stay with that for 1 second?
Yeah, please.
You see, everyone listening, the cry center, as he says, is the portal to everything good. This is the way to the freedom. We all want to resist the crying, but the crying is the doorway in. And then the light is available. And we are the light. And what's happening now?
Since we're in my system, I wonder if there's a connection to this pain I've been having in the middle of my back, slightly to the right in my behind my shoulder blade that will not go away.
Yes, is the answer. Let's feel into that for a moment.
Yeah, thanks.
Say yes to it. Just be like, ow, it hurts. I feel it. I'm not trying to change it.
It hurts a lot. It's like a dense rock.
Okay, what's happening inside the rock now?
I mean, it's still there. I felt a little bit of sort of a tendril, like, reach out into my main part of my shoulder for a sec.
Mm-hmm. So let's say the tightness of the rock was a 10 out of 10 of tightness. How tight is it now on a scale of 10?
It's still a 8.
Okay, cool. Do me a favor. I want you to go right in the middle of the rock. Not outside of it, not just looking at it. I want you to become the rock. Good. And then as pieces of it begin to shift and slough off, go back into the center of what remains of it. Yeah, become whatever remains of it. Okay, what's happening now with the rock?
I mean...
And where are you?
For a bit of it, I was sort of inside this meatball. Uh-huh. That's how it was showing up.
Yeah.
It's like a really dense meatball.
Yeah.
And then I could sort of feel pieces of it fall away. And then when I zoomed back out and sort of looked at it from the outside, it's still very much there, but it literally is smaller.
Uh-huh.
Not like the edges that, like you said, like fell away. So like it's more of a pinpoint. It's cool. A smaller locale.
Great. Will you drop into the center of the pinpoint and don't zoom out? And what's happening now? Is there a pinpoint?
I mean, yes. Wouldn't say there's a pinpoint. There's still pain there. It actually feels more diffuse now. Mm-hmm. Like it's there very much, but it's not. It doesn't feel like a rock.
What does it feel like instead of a rock? A wind, just, a space, a tree. What is it? A fog.
It really just feels more like a cramp.
Okay. Can you go into the center of the cramp for a moment?
Oh, there's a drill point there for a sec.
Okay, and now.
I mean, what I'm hearing is a conversation with myself that is saying something like that I am unwilling to let go of it completely. That was interesting. Just to note, I don't know why.
Okay. What's happening with the cramp?
Still there.
If the cramp was a 6 out of 10, what is it now?
Oh, it just went like 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a little movement. Still aware of it, but not super present right now.
Okay, so when we started talking about it, it was like a dense thing on the back of the shoulder, behind the shoulder blade. Remember that thing?
Mm-hmm.
So if that thing was a 10 out of 10 of its own thingness, where is that on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, the super dense meatball doesn't feel like it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's probably relative to when we started. Right now, 3 or 4.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Great. Of that. And I also am really aware of this. There's a resistance in myself that I want to talk to.
Yeah. Where's that resistance?
I don't know. It's in my head.
Okay.
It's did it go away? Did you experience it going away? Did you notice? Well, are you having a visceral experience? Like it's this.
Your judgment of the process?
It's the judgment of the process in my own head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay. Whenever that happens, we just come back to the sensations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, let's pause here. That's a lot for you for now.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. But yes, it's connected to everything you're bringing up. But see, here we are in the perfect example of the thing we were talking about conceptually before. So people around you are having a thing, and then you're having a thing. So let's deal with your thing.
Right. And with the story I'm writing, whether it's true or not, is the, I've been patting myself on the back. To a certain extent of being like, you're doing a good job of not taking it on 100%. But I wonder if I've been storing it like a little squirrel. Like I've been going, oh yeah, that's squirrel it away into this one little pocket in my shoulder for some reason. Mm-hmm. In a spot that I've never had a problem before.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new location for a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I've been packing it away into there. Mm-hmm. So that's a head story though. But thank you for jumping right into a thing.
Of course.
Not even a single dick joke to lubricate the episode yet.
All right. Well, this feels like I want to, would you be willing to read the first question?
Sure. Since you're in already, you're in the space. Yeah. So we have a whole bunch of questions we are wanting to do today. Probably break it into 2 episodes.
Yep.
So we'll just start with this first one because it's banana pants.
Okay. I'm ready.
This is from.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Almost everyone who messaged me said, please don't say my name. So
you're going to have a lot of beeping.
I'm going to need to say their names to get connected to them. So like,
and then we'll try and say them less once we're talking about them.
I'll try.
You do your best.
It's going to be bleep heavy.
All right. This first one. Recently learned my great grandfather. You want to do this one?
Sure. Yeah.
Was a horrific murderer. Yeah.
I like it.
Obviously been a family secret that came out just before grandma's death. Wonder if I or my kid is carrying any of his energies. And if so, would love to clear them. Also would love to know if I'm ever going to move out of Sacramento. Two totally divergent, much lighter question, but important just as well. What is the name? That's never say it again.
All right, let me drop in here. Okay, what was it? Great grandfather? Who was it?
Great grandfather.
Horrific murderer. All right. Are she or her son carrying any of his energies? Yes. Can that be cleared? Yes. Should we clear it now? Yes. Okay. So as you're listening to this, just feel into your first chakra, spinal column, all the way up it, into the brain stem. Breathe and feel. So to be clear for the listener, as I'm doing this energetically, she's getting this work right now in now time. But and when she listens to this in future time, she'll get more of it. That's how that works. The truth is, it'll be running the whole time, right? So that's a win. Okay, still running some energy here for her. You know, as this energy runs, they're like, also like, you got to get, the more you react to it, person, the more you react to it, the more... Oh my God, a horrific murderer. Oh, it's awful. Everybody's been a fucking murderer in another life. We all do everything. So we know what doing everything is. And then we move through the karmic wheel and we evolve past it. And murdering isn't good. Don't murder anybody. It's bad. But, and like, let's try not to make it. You have a tendency to make things like a big fat deal, and that locks them into place in your being. It's not ignore it. You know that, right? It's feel into it, face it, etc. But you don't have to make it a big fucking problem about you. It's not. Yes, you're carrying some of the energies. It's because everyone you're connected to, you're carrying some of the energies. You yourself have done some murderous shit in the past. It's okay. We all come from that. We all have been places and done things in the past. I know it's murder, it's bad, it's bad. But when you look at it from the universal perspective, everything's happening everywhere all at once. That's why the movie's called that. That's why I tried to name a fucking play that. Because everything's happening everywhere all at once. It's all happening right now. So if you spend too much time in reactivity, reactivity, remember, is born of judgment. You've decided it's so wrong and you're so right for not doing it. That creates more polarity, more separation, more suffering. Instead, just lean in, feel it. Oh, murder. Got it. Ah, I feel that. Ow. Light, 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 light. Transmutation, freedom. A piece of advice they have for you, beloved, would be you tend to hold things that happen in reality like as if they are each hot lava rocks in your hand and in your heart. You can practice holding things as if they are wind. Be wind and hold things as if it's wind, and you'll suffer less. Now, if you can't get to that because you're human and that's hard, that's when you sink into the hot lava rock and get a healing. You know, bring some light to it. Do your meditation practice that allows you to bring consciousness to the heaviness of a thing. Anything dense and heavy is like not gonna feel good in your heart or body. So we want to make it lighter. I mean, so it is. Are you ever gonna move out of Sacramento? I get a yes. When's that? 7 years. 7, 8, 9. Between 7 and 8 years from now, when you're ready. It has to do with timing with business. It also has to do with some kind of door that opens at that time. Watch for it. Ask about it. Wonder about it. Travel. Explore. But don't try to push it or make it happen. Just watch and wonder and engage with the question. Am I moving? Look around. Am I moving? I wonder. Let's go over here. See if we're moving there. We drive there. Oh, it's so pretty. Then we come back. Not yet. I have things to do here. Oh, let's go over here. See how this is. Like that. And they're like, this is the gift of your husband in your life, is he's more like, he's like fire, but he's like air. Look at how he rolls. Do some of that. Cool. Is that all for her? Yes.
Great. Should we do the house question since it's already, we were on the subject a little bit earlier?
Sure.
This will be another person whose name we will beep. Pretty much everybody. We're just going to beep everybody's names today. All right. Hi, Katie. I'd like to ask the records about everything coming up with the pursuit of buying a home. Do you want to get into the records of this person's name first before I ask this question?
Oh, I already know who it is, so I'm already going there.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
I believe our dream house is out there. I'm looking for something that feels like an expression of my inner high vibes. This is driving my husband insane because he's the most 3D person I have ever met. Mm. Both of us have had all the arguments, crying, shedding. It's just the most freaking emotional time. He's broken. This experience and my inability to settle are driving him mad. Mm. He's so angry at me. Mm. I believe we'll come through this, but also, holy shit, maybe not. It's that bad. Mm-hmm. Please ask the records for any guidance to help me and him through this. How can we find this house I believe is out there? How can I have patience for this process and hold space for my husband's extreme fear and not take it on myself? It's broken me wide open. Not the same person I was when I said we're selling the condo and buying a single family home. It's been 3 months of nothing but moving, house talk, selling, nomadic existence, and we're both fried and he's just beyond done. I wish this was fun. Mm. If he were not in agony, I'd really be enjoying the process. Mm. Help. Mm. So it's a question of guidance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just listening and asking a few things here. Okay, one thing is I don't think you guys are going to split over this, but I do think it's just going to be hard. So what do we do with things that are hard? We just talked about it at the top of this episode. So this is about you, person. This is about you taking more space and time on your own, connecting with source, bringing light and peace back into your heart. When you get frazzled, when you get emotionally activated, you get frazzled quickly. So that's okay. That's part of your process. But what's required of you as a result is that you take time away into the quiet. They show me you meditating at home alone, but also in the woods. Like, go into nature and get connected to spirit a couple times a day right now. You have to come back to the well and fill the well with water in order to be able to help other people drink, you know? So this is, again, help. How do I get through this? Not how do we make it stop? You know, they talk about like our prayers when we're new on the spiritual path are, make it easier. How do I get out of this? Help me out of this. And then the prayers as we deepen on the path are, help me through this. And you know this. This is just a reminder, though. You're going to have to go through this. So more self-care, more meditation for you, more time in nature, more dropping into your vulnerability around it. And oddly, okay, this is going to sound really odd. You guys need to process together about this less. Almost like you have to let him have his weird process. You have your weird process and you kind of do it separately. Now, that's just talking about process. That doesn't emotional processing to spiritual awakening separately. He's going to do whatever the fuck he's going to do or not do. You have to go over into the woods and do what you're going to do, but or not do. But please do. Now, in terms of finding the place, they're like, never, ever fucking settle. Are you kidding? You know this. Never fucking settle. He's tripping. Don't settle because he's tripping. What would be nice is if we had tools to give him, to support him. What he needs is to embrace some kind of fucking tools. We don't care what the tools are. Therapy, EMDR, ketamine, heroin, whatever. That was a joke. But he needs to do something to nurture himself and calm himself down. He needs patience and mercy with you. Don't be insistent with him. We know that you know this already about how he gets to patience and mercy with you. But the request you're making of your husband at this time is, please love me. Forgive me for being who I am. Patience and mercy with me. I hate making this hard on you too. I hate this. I want it to be easy. It isn't. Please work on yourself in a way that gives you patience and mercy. If he won't work on himself in a way that brings him patience and mercy, you can't change that. You can separate yourself from it for a time or forever. That's your choice, or not. But if he's going to be not patient and merciful with you, you need to go away from him while he's doing that and go to the well of love, nature, the divine light, you know, rest, nature, showers, quiet time. We can't make other people do the work we want them to do, right? We just can't. But you can and should, in relationship with other humans, make requests to get your needs met. In this case, it's, please, can you practice and try being merciful with me? I am who I am. I love you the way you are. Please, can you love me the way I am? I can't settle. I can't. If I settle, here's what's going to happen. 2 months in, max, maybe three, because of how sensitive I am. I'm going to freak out and we're going to have to move again. You don't want that, do you, buddy? And that's it.
I have a question about settling.
Yes, please.
That idea.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we have our own stories that say, oh, I'm settling, but maybe there are blocks in our own way of realizing, actually, no, I could do this.
Yeah.
Are you getting any of that?
No.
In this story?
Yeah, no. That's why, I mean, that was the first thing I asked. It's like, does she need to calm down? It's like, nah. She knows what she needs. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's just her dealing with the processing of it and taking more space and time to deal with the process of it. But it's not about picking any old thing.
Right.
To codependently make him comfortable.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, that's all.
I just want want to say, I feel like this is in any house buying, you know, this is very opposed spiritual, non-spiritual searching, but just patience. The right place is out there. Like,
yeah,
neither one of you has to settle. He doesn't have to settle either.
No.
And get some,
right,
you know, woodsy, hippy dippy place that doesn't cater to whatever needs he needs. Like,
correct. Yeah.
There's houses out there for everybody and for every couple.
It's got to be a win-win.
Yeah.
Or you don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big challenge here.
Yeah.
For real.
Don't force it.
Look, you know, things like this do split people up. I mean, people break up over shit like this. But you have to understand, when people break up over shit like this, you weren't compatible anyway.
Right.
It was time to break up. And this was just the indicator of that.
Yeah.
I don't get that in this case.
Yeah.
I really don't. I would say it and it would suck to say it, but I'm not getting it.
Yeah. But you're going to have to keep going through the hard shit for a little while.
Yeah.
And it's how you process that hard shit is the question.
Yep.
Do you keep confronting it or do you?
Well, I would encourage her to listen back to everything I said already. Let's not repeat it and then dumb it down. Like, she needs to just listen back, take it in. She knows what's, she like can hear this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. What else do we have?
So many.
Yeah. Do you want to, let's just keep going.
Yeah. I think I should take a quick pee break.
Cool.
Particularly because, did I tell you about what happened to me?
No. We haven't talked about anything.
We haven't talked about anything. Yeah. We might take a, do you want to take a conversation break?
A pee break and a Katie talk about Katie break.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Rami here. I just went to this art exhibition, an artist called Nick Cave at the Guggenheim. There's actually another Nick Cave too, who's like an Australian singer-songwriter or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but it's not that guy. Anyway, Nick Cave's work is incredible. And I was so viscerally affected, and it was such a strong example of how art making is conjuring, period. Plain and simple. Making art, no matter what kind, is casting a spell. And in this case, this artist was very conscious. I'm guessing was conscious that he was doing that. Also, like, the hours and hours of meticulously adding buttons and sequins and layers upon layer of like found objects, and each found object has its own story and its own energy that it's carrying, and all of that is adding to this vibration of these pieces that, like, I walked into the space and I kind of wanted to throw up, but in a good way. It was amazing. Yeah. Rami's rules.
Oh, that's so good. I love that.
Raw dog and
K-Y. Raw dog
and K-Y. God, that's so relevant to the story, too.
Oh, my God. Okay. Are you still recording?
Yes.
I was just going to say, we are back from a pee trip, and we decided we're going to save Katie's story. We're going to continue going
lubeless.
Straight in. No lube.
No lube.
More heavy, awesome questions from amazing people.
More like lubeless sexual intercourse with God.
Okay, another specific one. How about that? You want the one about journals?
Sure.
seems like a pretty easy one, actually. This is from... hi, Katie, my love. Mm-hmm. I've kept my journals for the past 10 years or so because it just seems like the thing one does. But when I recently went through them, it made me so sad to read my hopeless feelings from the past. I was really knocked over with sadness. Do I keep my old journals or get rid of them? Seems so hard to get rid of them. It's a testament to what I've been through. Mm. But it also just seems like a big ball of sad just taking up energy in my home.
Great question.
Can I just answer this one real quick?
Sure.
Get in touch with Mortified. Turn this grief into entertainment.
That's so genius. So
very true.
She may not know about Mortified. She's on the East Coast.
No, they have it. It's an international sensation.
Oh, okay. All right.
Scott just produces the local one.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, so yes, our buddy Scott is the producer. You could just send it to me and we'll make something fantastic of it. We'll have you come to a show. But I get a no. Don't do that.
They also might be adult journals, which are past the cutoff for when they're supposed to be.
It's from middle school?
Anything before the age of 20.
Okay, give me a second. Because look, you know, there's the obvious, let's talk to people about a thing. There's the obvious spiritual lady thing to say, burn it, just burn it and let it go. And let it be a processing and a burning and a process and let it go. That's what spiritual people say. But let's see what actually consciousness has to say about it. So it's like, if I tune in for her at this time, is it in her highest good? Yes. Okay.
Well, that was easy. Burn it, yeah.
But also, let's just see something here because, all right, so... Okay. Everything that makes it hard to let it go is the work you're ready for now. In other words, so sink into, so you, here's what you do. You do a ceremony about it. You get, I see it like a big fire pit. If you, oh God, that makes me want to cry, that you get Rami, if you can. They know Rami. She knows Rami. And whoever else you trust, sacred, holy people, and you stand around this fire pit, this metal, see it like a metal fire pit. Doesn't have to be. I'm just showing you what they show me. You're outside. You put the thing in there. I would read it through maybe once or twice, weirdly, and get all that energy. Get it. Go like, oh, right, that nonsense. And then put it in there. Fucking grease it up, you know, with gasoline or whatever. Fucking set it on fire and cry. Process it. Let go of that past. But remember, this is the difference between what I do and what the people who I believe are actual therapists and healers do and what Instagram woo-woo people say. The difference is you don't just let it go. You have to fucking process it to let anything go. So read it so the stuff is up so that when you burn it, you can cry and process so that it actually is easy to let it go. And then let it go, let it go. You can do it. And it's time. I think you'll have a better time than you think. There's another teaching for you in particular inside of this, which is practice enjoying the pain. In other words, some people have to like worship their pain less. And you know, we can all get into victim and over worship our pain. But in this case about the stuff that's in there, practice being like, oh yeah, that fucking asshole. Oh yeah, that was so painful. Ah! And be with it. Rather than acting out toward other people from it or denying it's there. Be with it, burn it. The burning is a ceremonial acknowledgement that you are choosing to process it and let it go. Let it go. The next one we have to do is the poop one.
Okay.
Because it's connected.
Okay.
To this. Okay, is there more?
Okay.
I want to say one more thing just for, because this will be good for her. Sorry. So your energy is getting really, really light. And you're so, with all those open centers you have, I just want you to know it's like real easy to drop into your field and real easy to get out. Because there's not a lot of sticky, holdy-on-y, da-da-da. You're like really lightning. It's really cool. Anyway, just FYI.
That's cool. All right, here we go. This is sort of a two-part question and it's not that long. I'll just read it.
Yeah.
All right, this is from our wonderful Margaret.
Okay.
And we love her.
What's her last name?
McCarahan.
Okay.
She says, my daughter, and here's a name that you'll also need to add to your list, Gillian Joy Wickstrom,
mm-hmm.
or Jillian with a G, wakes up with gut bowel discomfort or pain every morning, which eases through the day. Exploring it medically with so far a diagnosis of IBS, can you help with what is causing this for her or what we should be further investigating or doing to treat this? Which brings me to the theme of bowels in the family. My 89-year-old mom has just been diagnosed with bowel cancer. My 91-year-old dad had it 40 years ago. My 28-year-old niece is undergoing tests to see if she has bowel cancer.
Hmm.
Two of my sisters, one brother, and at least one other niece have IBS. My husband has IBS, jeez, and now my daughter. And within hours of my mom telling me about her bowel cancer, I got gastro. I'm not sure what that means. It just means she got a tummy ache, maybe.
I think she means I psychically got gastro is the answer. I don't know.
The bowels are speaking.
Okay.
I'm just not sure what they're saying.
Okay.
Can you tell me what this theme is about?
Yes.
Is there anything I can do to help us all with this? Can it be cleared, shifted, healed?
Yes. Yes.
And she says, totally okay to use all the names given.
Oh, look at that. Fun, no beeping. Hooray. Fuck the beeps. Okay. First of all, let's go general down to specifics. So the general bowel thing in this family is what I can't digest, what I can't process or digest, what I won't digest or process. Okay. So this is how they give this. I'm sorry. I'm just the messenger. I'm a direct, clear lady who talks in a direct, clear way, and that's why they like me, but that's why people have a hard time with me. So just, okay, messenger, just a vortex through which information comes. They're like, you have a stubborn ass family. You people are stubborn. You are stubborn. You and all of them, you're all goddamn stubborn motherfuckers. In the sense that, which is of course a gift, and the other side of that gift is the challenge. We all have many gifts that are also challenges. Every challenge that every human has ever had also has a gift in it. It's just, when are you using it and how, right? So it's not about being stubborn is wrong and bad. It's about when we're applying the stubbornness to what and how and why. Okay, so in this case, wow, that's so interesting. It's like I get information in layers and then I have to figure out how to say all the layers. So we'll go backwards. The answer to this is mercy and compassion. That's the answer for everybody in this situation in your family. Bringing the energy and the light and the love of mercy and compassion to the parts of self that don't want to deal with fill in the blank. I don't want to confront X problem. It's too uncomfortable, too scary, too painful. And I gotta say it how they give it to me, my love. You guys like to be right about stuff. I want to be fucking right about all of these people you mentioned. Everybody wants to be goddamn right. Let me just say, on behalf of the light of consciousness, you're right. You're right. You win. Will you process it now? You're fucking right. Okay? Now fucking process it. You win. You're right. You won. The game is won. You fought on the field. You wore the helmet. They died. You didn't. You win. Now feel it. Jesus already. Okay. So each
consciousness is a bitch today.
Yeah, for real. She's direct, man. That's why she needs me. Okay, so here's the thing. We don't have time to waste to be. I'm not. Remember the definition of kind versus nice. Nice is I say what you want me to say so you're comfortable and you never fucking grow. Kind is I tell you the truth so you can fucking change and feel better all the time. It's pretty kind of consciousness to be direct. If you were to look at, now we're going to step back up the ladder. Remember I said there's like piece by piece by piece. The end is mercy, compassion, meaning you've got to bring mercy and compassion, the energy of it, actual love, not a mental idea of love, not words you put out that are nicey, nice words, but actual love, right? Margaret knows what that is. What's her name? Mary Magdalene, energy you work with or whatever it might be. Kuan Yin, whoever. You gotta bring the mercy and the love to the parts of you that don't wanna face the stuff that needs facing. Remember, like we often think part of why we don't wanna face stuff is we think it's gonna be harsh and painful. It will be a little painful, but it doesn't have to be harsh. You know, these words, this guidance coming through strongly, but the way you process it can be very merciful. Mercy is the way through. So think of it this way. When you have a block in your belly, you got a big dump that won't move through your fucking intestines. Like, if you think about what is Imodium AD? This is a drug we have in America. I don't know if you guys have it. It's a lubricant. It goes in there and makes everything squishy and oily slick so that the poop will dislodge from what it's ever lodged into and then move through. You need the lubricant of mercy and love to process the stuff you don't want to face, you stubborn, stubborn bastards. Okay. Now they're showing like there was like four different problems mentioned. There was like a person with IBS and a person with maybe bowel cancer. And there's all these things, and they're each a different thing the person is being resistant and stubborn to facing, owning, admitting, and processing. Are we going through each one? No, let's go to the daughter. So could you read that part again?
Jillian Joy Wickstrom wakes up with gut bowel discomfort or pain every morning, which eases throughout the day.
Okay, give me a second. Okay, so they bring me back to this idea of, so when we were saying a minute ago, you guys like to be right, okay? To help your ego deal with processing what needs to be processed, you don't have to say to yourself, well, let me be wrong. I should just be wrong. I'm bad and wrong for wanting to be right, so I'll just be wrong. No. Instead, what you do is you go, you feel into the place in your heart that says, I have to be right about this. I'm right about not needing to process this. I'm right, therefore there's nothing to process. I'm right about my righteous anger. I'm right about, I'm too scared to do this, and that's right. Like, whatever the rightness is about, be right about it and let the light hit you there. In other words, you don't have to be wrong. Like, the way to heal stubborn rightness is not to go, I'm wrong. The opposite is not the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is bringing conscious light to it so the consciousness transmutes it into whatever it's meant to be. The need to be right is just a defensive strategy for survival, which is sometimes very useful. That's why we say it's a blessing and a curse. It's a gift and a challenge. So in this case with your daughter, how old is she? Does she say in the thing?
No.
Mm-hmm. Let me listen a little more. Say the full name again, Cass. I'm sorry. Jillian
Joy Wickstrom.
Okay. She's angry about something. Sad, hurt, and angry. And she doesn't think it's okay. On a certain level, she doesn't want to be sad, hurt, and angry about it. It has something to do with something going on in the family. So she doesn't let herself admit she's sad, hurt, and angry about this dynamic going on in the family where she feels small and powerless and unable to affect change. So instead, what she does is when she's unconscious, she's asleep, her psyche goes, now we can be fucking pissed. But because you can't really fully always process things in your sleep, the bowels are going, dig here. So she wakes up tight in the bowels because that anger and that sadness and that hurt need to be shat out, right? They need to be processed, felt, grieved. She needs to have a place where she can express what she's pissed about at home, what she's reacting to, what she's sad about, what hurts her feelings. Is it going to work for her? No. I think she needs a place to do that is safe, that is outside of the home, where she can feel like, I can't say it to mom because it would break her heart, and I can't say it to dad because he won't hear it. So I need a therapist or somebody who I can just be like, mom's such a bitch because blah. Kids need a place to do that. Particularly kids with IBS or whatever we're called, abdominal pain. She has nowhere to put her anger and doesn't know she's allowed to have it. So she's got to express it, and then she'll be pooping like a champ.
There we go.
So like, you know, that comes back to the whole mercy thing, right? Like if she had a merciful, space-holding, compassionate therapist who she trusted, she would feel safe to say she was sad and hurt and angry. By the way, already I can hear your psyche being like, what can I do? How can I do it? Can I hold space for her? She trusts me. We're good. Why can't I do it? You're not failing as a mom just because your kid needs to process stuff about you somewhere else. That's not a failure as a mom. That's just how kids are. Like, people need sometimes space to process the other people in their life that isn't with the people in their life. You're not failing as a mom. 100%. Promise. Promise, promise, promise. So let her process wherever she needs to go to process the anger and the sadness and the hurt she feels. The whole thing is for her is just getting okay with it's okay to have these feelings and express them and move them through. I don't have to hold on to them because I'm bad and wrong for having them. Okay, that's all.
I would just like to say that's exactly what my therapist is for.
Yeah.
Complaining about the people in my life that I can't complain
to.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to put my friends in an awkward situation complaining about kids or wife or whatever. And 100%.
It helps you.
Oh my God. It's the best. Like, you know, it kind of goes back and forth. Like when things are well and I don't have a lot to complain about, then we actually work on stuff and try to work on other things. But on a week to week basis, what I need is just, I call him my garbage man. I take my garbage to them and it's a safe place to leave it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love my family.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the hard one to digest though sometimes. I'm glad you said that about like you don't fail as a mom just because your kid needs to talk about you to someone else.
Yep. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk about people I adore to other people I adore.
Totally.
Because, you know.
You gotta.
But sometimes when someone, but within a friend group, when someone talks
right
about someone else, sometimes like that's not talking. Great.
I'm yeah.
like, I don't want to do this totally. For you. And I hear you and you're not wrong.
I know.
And it doesn't mean you love that person less, but.
Yep. A million percent. Yeah,
sometimes it needs to go somewhere else.
How many more are there?
We have like 3 or 4 others that we can do, but maybe we can make those the next episode.
Let's do that.
The TBD to be the TBC to be continued.
Bum, bum, bum. You guys, this has been our No Lube episode. We got in. We bent you just over a chair.
You just put me up, bent me over the chair first. And said, look, we're going in.
That's
we're gonna,
right.
We're going to work out this issue. And
that's it.
Yeah. Katie, I want to say, because I feel like you came right from teaching and maybe that was why you were just like, I'm already here. Yeah. Let's just do the thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
But thank you. You're doing God's work for a bunch of people. And
I'm
this
so
is
glad.
Amazing.
Oh, good, good. I'm
it's
so glad.
Not, let's just take a moment. Don't take this shit lightly, y'all.
Yeah.
She's given us fucking diamonds, generosity.
Mm. Mm, 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 mm.
You know, you. This is a free podcast and we're getting healing for free.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. Also, you know, maybe go on our Patreon and get that going. It's a little quiet there right now.
So yeah.
If anybody is feeling motivated to step up their commitment to keeping us going,
we'd
love that.
Yeah.
That would be really appreciated.
Thanks, Cass.
For all three of us.
Super and, good.
So thank you. But thank you, especially Katie. And also, you know, sign up for some private sessions with Katie.
Yes.
Put some money in her pocket.
Yeah. Being in the same room with her is, you know, I haven't been able to make it to very many recordings anyways, but even when I do get on a Zoom recording, it's easy to get kind of distracted and whatnot. And just being here and, you know, closing my eyes and just like the tears just started flowing instantly, which is like, that to me is like, I'm relaxing for the first time in a long time. Mm. Like those are just my
God, what a gift it is to be in the room together.
My tense muscles relaxing so much that the tears can just fall. And we're just getting started.
We're just getting started.
This episode's over, but we're just getting revved up.
We're going to put a little pin in things, a little stretch, and then jump right back in.
Love it.
So
do your work.
See you do your work. Do work.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod, @allanswerspod. Thank you. Just learned that the plural of Lego is Lego.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And then I beep the beep, and his name was Beep. And when he touched my beep.